I want you to remember that it takes every doctrine in the Old Testament and the New Testament to express the value of the redemption and the glory of Jesus Christ. And this is one of them. We ought to appreciate, when we finish studying this lesson on hell, we ought to appreciate Christ even more than we ever have before. Because that's where we be. Now, hell is not a place where you burn up. Alright? Hell is not a place where you go out of existence. It is, in some places, it's called a prison. What are prisons usually for? Prisons are usually for what?
Incarceration.
To incarcerate people to protect society. Now we see, now we're going to get into this a little later. We see over here in Revelation, the 20th chapter, verses 7 through 9, that the devil is incarcerated in hell. Now hell is not prisons are supposed to be, many times some people have life in prisons without parole, okay? Well, they probably should have executed them many times. Now, prisons are looked upon as a place of reformation sometimes. Some people, they can't reform, so they keep them in there forever. Other people, if they've committed a crime so bad, they execute them, they kill them. Because it's prisons for them are not a place of reformation, but a place of punishment. Punishment is what you is the punishment for a high crime is death. Okay? Prisons are many times a place of where they try to reform, they send the people to school, they try to get the bad ideas out of their heads, and then they can go back into society maybe. But hell's not like that. Hell's like the death penalty. There is, once you go to hell, there is no reformation. We have only one, last Wednesday night we studied Luke the 16th chapter, because we happen to be right there in 1 Peter where it talks about hell. Okay? Now, hell is not a place for reformation. It's not a place where you're going to be there for 10,000 years and you're going to get better. Now, during the Dark Ages, how many of you have ever heard of the Sistine Chapel and Michelangelo and all of that? There was a pope that he was a warrior pope. This guy, all he did was go out and fight battles. I can't remember his name right now, but he was out conquering countries and fighting wars, and he also instigated the great and the prolific sale of indulgences. And he paid Michelangelo and all those people that did the great artwork there, the money that they were paid with was money that people paid for indulgences. Now, what's an indulgence?
By the way
to heaven. They pay for it. A friend of mine said that he went to his brother-in-law's marriage over in Las Vegas the other day with a Catholic wedding, and he said, you know what? He didn't talk anything about those people loving each other or anything. It was all the power of the Catholic Church and how that they were announcing that these people were married because they had the power to do it. I said, that's it. I got witness to it just a little bit about this historical thing. Well, the Catholic Church was selling indulgences. People could live, for instance, there's a guy that over here that he had 7 or 8 concubines and a wife. Well, you know, he's committing adultery, possibly, with all his concubines. Well, he can have 6 of those concubines if he pays so much money. He has to get rid of 7. If he wants a 7th one, it's going to cost him a little bit more. And he's going to guarantee that when he dies, that he's going to go to heaven. So, what is an indulgence? It is a license to sin. All right. Well, this pope was selling licenses to sin. You could sin. If you wanted to cheat somebody or whatever you wanted to do, you could buy the license to do it. Now, in our biblical thought, that's ridiculous, isn't it? That's ridiculous. Well, here we have lost people leading lost people. There's nobody saved hardly at all in the Catholic Church at that period of time. I mean, these people are cutthroats, murderers, and killers, and they're killing each other. Half the popes were put in prison by the next pope, and they sent somebody over to strangle them to death. It was run by the mafia. By families in Italy. I mean, that's how it was run. And we see this sale of the license to sin. Well, Jesus, you know what? He died for all those rats. Did you know that? He died for all of them. His blood was sufficient to cover all the sins of all of the ungodly. And I told you about the ungodly uncle I had that I wanted to go to hell. I wanted to see him in hell. And the Lord saw fit to save that rascal. In the last hours, the last months of his life, and he turned around by the prayers of his godly father, that his father had prayed for him so many years. Well, we see in all of this, as we study hell, we're going to see how it glorifies God. Because Christ died for us. I mean, like I said, the Catholic Church says that they have the power to walk you into heaven. And, of course, they invented purgatory, too. That was that place that you suffered for a while and hoped before you went to heaven. There's no such place as that either. But heaven is not a place of reformation. It's a place of punishment. Heaven is a place, hell is a place of punishment forever. Not. Hell, brother. Hell is a place where you go forever. There's only one person that we can ever see that was released from hell for a short time. Who was that? Jonah. No. Jonah was in the place of departed spirits. He was in paradise, right? Yeah, we're going to study about that a little bit today. Who was the one that was in we need some more chairs, people.
The rich man?
No, not the rich man. Because the rich man stayed in hell, didn't he? Who was it?
Is it Zechariah?
Revelation 27 through 9. Hell.
Satan.
Satan is the only person that ever went through hell and was released for a short time. Guess where he's going back, though? All right.
But that hasn't happened yet.
Huh? That one hasn't happened yet. But we know it is because Revelation 27 says 9.
But
see, in the Hebrew, many times when it talks about in the Hebrew Bible, there is a future perfect. Okay? A future perfect that speaks of prophecy as if it already happened, because you know what? The Word of God is absolutely sure. Absolutely sure. All right, we're on page 14. We're studying about the lesson number 8, the doctrine of hell. And I said again, I want to say, I want to repeat this until it's engraved in your hearts and in your minds. It takes every doctrine in the Old and the New Testament to express the glory and the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And the worth of it, the value of it. It takes every doctrine. And this is one of those doctrines. Where is hell located? What, bro? Down. It's located down. Proverbs 15:24, Revelation 5 and 3, and Revelation 5 and 13. Somebody with fast fingers, go there. And we're going to look at this. All right. We're going to draw a little picture on the wall up here, on the whiteboard. Well, nothing works. Okay. See if I got one here that'll work. Oh yeah, that's the color of hell anyway. That's what I needed. That's what I needed. That's it. That's fiery, isn't it? Fiery red.
All right.
Now, hell is... someone read Proverbs 15:24. Brother Ken.
The way of life winds upward for the wise, that he may turn away from hell below.
All right. Let's call this the earth right here.
Now, it tells something about heaven there, doesn't it? Where's heaven?
Upward.
Upward. All right, that's that way. That's north. All right.
On every map, you have the top of every map. If somebody knows how to draw a map, it's what?
North.
All right. And then the bottom of every map is south. All right. Now, Revelation 5:3. Who's got that? Brother John, you have that one?
Yes, sir. And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the book or to look into it.
All right. Now, under the earth down there, it says down under the earth. Down below the earth. All right. Now, this is the surface of the earth right here, all right? Now, if you were going to go down under the earth, where would you have to go? We have two downs here.
The center.
Well, the center of the earth, would that be down under the earth?
Right? In the midst.
That would be in the middle of it. So if you wanted to go under the bed, where would you go? Underneath the bed. All right? Underneath the bed. So down here, somewhere down under the earth, as a ball of sphere in space, is where hell is. I know some people believe hell is in the center of the earth, but there is a double preposition in the original language that kind of nullifies that. Because it's down under, down below the earth. Not in the center of it, but down below the earth. Down here. Now, someplace there, and somebody told me that Brother Phil taught about this here
a while back.
At one time, there was a region down there called Sheol. Now, how many of you know what Saul means? Saul. Saul, the name Saul means the one asked for, because Israel asked for a king. Did you know that his name comes from the same root that Sheol comes from? You know that? Sheol and Saul. Now, Sheol is a place asked about. Where did my uncle, where did my mama, where did my brother, where did my sister go when they died? The place asked about. All right? The place asked about. And this whole place is called Sheol. Now, it's got a pitchfork looking thing like this. Like that. And then a Ali in Hebrew. And this little dude like this. And then this little thing. That's what it looks like in Hebrew. But this is the way you say it in English. All right? Now, we're going to study these things in a couple, but this is called Sheol here. And in Greek, it's called like this. Hades. All right? Hades. Hades. That's where we get our word Hades from, is right out of Greek. All right? Now, here these words are. Now, let's go back to this verse. Revelation 5:3. Do you have Revelation 5:13, brother? All right.
And every created thing which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and on the sea and all
and on under the earth again. All right.
And all things in them I heard saying, to him who sits on the throne of the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever.
After, now we're going to go to Luke 16 chapter pretty soon. But when that man got to hell, what did he do? This man was hell, this rich man, Diabetes or Nineveh, whatever you want to call it. He was called Nineveh in the old text. What did he do there? He wanted out, didn't he? All right. Now, he was a victim of the devil's devices on the earth, but there was no escape for him once he got there. Remember me. Remember what I said. Hell is not like prison. Prison, many prison people in prison are to be reformed. Hell is not a place of reformation when they send you out later. The Catholic idea of purgatory and stuff is not in hell. That is not hell. When a person is sentenced to die, they may repent of their sins. Did you know that? Sometimes they do. We had a woman in Texas, I believe it was, a few years ago. She killed somebody murderously, I mean viciously, and while in prison, she was sentenced to death. While in prison, she was saved and was born again and showed her all the fruits of being saved. But that sentence was not waived. She was executed. She died. That's like hell. Once they get there, it's too late. There is no second chance in hell. You're not going to get to go back. A lot of people teach this. A lot of people don't even believe in hell. That's a hard doctrine in the Bible. But it takes the doctrine of hell to show the full measure of the grace of God.
Sure.
It takes that. All right?
Isn't it always, not always, but often referred to as eternal damnation?
Yes.
As eternal as is heaven.
Eternal damnation, the same adjectives describing that, describes eternal life. Alright. Now Isaiah 14 and verse 9, and someone look up Ezekiel 31 verse 17. Who's got the book of Isaiah there? Brother Phil.
Hell for me, the meat is excited about you. The meat you have your cutting, it stirs up the dead for you. All the chief ones of the earth, it has raised up from your throne all the kings of the nations.
Alright. Here, hell from where? Beneath, below. Alright. Down. All right. So down here. Now, there in Sheol or Hades, now, this isn't the present place of paradise. One side of this was paradise. And one side of it is Hades or Sheol. All right. This is a place of damnation or suffering. Damnation or suffering. There was a in the one big place. Now that's why Jesus went down here when he died. Okay? We're going to look at this as we go. Isaiah 14 verse 9, Ezekiel 31 verse 17. Brother Lee.
They also went down to hell with it, and those slain by the word, and those who were its strong arm dwelt in the shadows among the nations.
Alright. Hell is called the place of the bottomless pit also. There's a place in hell called the bottomless pit. We're going to study that a little bit later. It's called the place of deep darkness by the prophet Jude. The deep, and also Enoch talks about this deep darkness, this place of darkness. All right. For whom was hell prepared? Matthew 25 and verse 41. Look ahead just a little bit. Maybe you can find it. Has anyone got Matthew 25 and verse 41? This is a scary place now. Because it's real. Okay, Alma.
Then he will say to those on his list, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and the demons.
Who was hell originally prepared for? It was prepared in eternity past, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And it was prepared for who?
The devil and his angels.
The devil and his angels.
What? These intruders now.
Then what?
Then we're intruders.
Yes. They became intruders into God's world then, and outlaws. Demons and the devil and his angelic forces are outlaws in God's world today. But they are in control of God's world today. Out of here. And we have to put up with them, don't we? We studied the devil for 2 weeks. I didn't want to give him that much credit. But we have to deal with him. And I'll tell you one thing, when you study the doctrine of the devil, you will appreciate the Lord more. You study the book of Job at least once a year, at least read it. At least the first 5 or 6 chapters, so you know what's happening to you. It's very important. All right, how is hell described in the Bible? Revelation 20, 10, 14, and 15. Do you have that one, Ruth?
Mm-hmm. The devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are also, and they will be forever tormented day and night, forever and ever.
All right. Eon to eon. Forever and ever. They'll be tormented. It says they will be in torments for ages upon ages. Now, what's it called there? It's called the lake. How many of you like to go out to the lake? And go out by the lake and camp by the lake, go on the lake and fish on the lake, swim in the lake, whatever. You know, it's a lot of fun. This lake's not going to be any fun at all. This is a lake of fire. I went through some radiation therapy here a while back and it didn't work. They were radiating me and I still got the dots. They tattooed me like this in different places where they were shooting this radiation into me. And when he went into the area where they were radiating, it set my feet on fire. And my legs weren't supposed to do that. But my feet burned like fire for a month. Just like I was walking, I was one of those Hindu firewalkers or something. Now let me tell you a little bit about that too. It talks about the, in the Old Testament, and we're going to study that just a little bit later, about people walking through, about making their children pass through the fire. There was two different ways of that. One was that they sacrificed for children and burned them up in the belly of this beast. But the other was that they made them walk through fire through a miracle. It was a miracle. Because they were inducted into the mysteries of darkness. And fire, satanic mysteries, and fire would not hurt them. What do you think? Have you ever seen anybody walk on fire? In the television, you know, you could, Ripley's, believe it or not, they had this guy, he was walking on fire and they inspected his feet and everything, and it didn't bother him at all. You know why? That was like the rites passing through the fire. Okay? Because, guess who's the God of this world? Can the God of this world, can Satan protect his own? Can he produce miracles? In the last days, in the book of Revelation, we see all kinds of miracles. God performs miracles. Satan performs miracles. One miracle is to prove that God is the God of heaven, that he was the Messiah to come, and that his spokesmen are legitimate. Well, Satan is deceiving when he does miracles. All right. Revelation 20, 10, 14, and 15. Did you get all of those, Ruth? You can 14, read 14 for me.
Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire.
All right. Revelation 21 through 3. Have you got that one too? This turn back there. You got that one, Greg? You can go ahead, Brother Greg.
Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. Mm-hmm. And he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up, and set a seal on him, so that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years were finished. But after these things he must be released for a little while.
Alright, now Satan is cast into a place of hell. The only person that went to hell and came out, okay? The only one. Revelation, and look at your map up here. If you don't have one of these maps, I'm going to give you one here, all right? This, Brother Ken's taught this in his class over there. Here we have Satan going to hell, and then he's going to be released out of hell. But he goes to a place in hell called the Abyss. Now turn your page over. Turn this page over now. Look down here, and toward the bottom of that page, and see the word Abyss down there? And that shows you how to spell it in Abyssos. See that? And it means what over there to the right? No bottom. That's what Abyssos means. It's the bottomless pit or the place with no bottom. Now this is a place out in what I think is outer space. And it could be one of those black holes where time doesn't exist, by the way. Time doesn't exist. It's eternity. When it says whatever sucked into those black holes, now this is scientists saying this. Whatever sucked into those black holes is there, and it just absolutely concentrates it, and it just sucks it in and preserves it in that pressure and black darkness forever. The Black Hole. There was a movie one time, I think, called The Black Hole, Walt Disney put out. And so the devil up there, that place, in this black hole, this place of no escape. All right. The bottomless pit. Matthew 25 and verse 41, we've already studied that. It's Jesus said that hell, this eternal fire, is created for the devil and his angels, and all of those without the blood of Jesus Christ. That makes the blood of Jesus Christ real valuable to me. Doesn't it? The doctrine of hell is absolutely necessary. Did you know that? How many people in this world have committed crimes and got by with it? I told you my uncle killed three people, but I know how many men when they're prosecuted for any of them. And he escaped hell. It was just to send him to hell, but he escaped hell because of the blood of Jesus Christ. That's valuable. Well, I know that that man would have been burning in the hottest pits of hell for all the things that he did in his life, but the value, the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. You don't gain his conscience if you've been saved. Why, even that demonic fella, what's his name, that committed all the crimes down, he's still in prison today, and they want him to read really
Manson.
Manson, Charles Manson, that guy is demonic. People are afraid to even interview him and deal with him because he's so powerful. That power comes from the dark side. If that man, in the volition in his heart, if he would turn loose of that and call upon the Lord and repent of those sins, you know what? The blood of Jesus Christ is powerful enough to forgive him. There was a man eater, Jeffrey Dahmer, remember him? He ate people. He killed people, murdered them, and ate them. He ate his victims. And before he died, he asked the Lord to save him. That's how powerful the blood of Jesus Christ is. He repented. He was killed in prison. He was murdered in prison. But today, from all the evidence that we have, that guy is with the Lord in paradise. Think about the blood, the power of the blood of Jesus Christ over hell, Marilyn.
Well, I just want to say, person like that would have the back seat in heaven.
Well, there are different degrees in heaven, like there are different degrees in hell. That's absolute. But I don't know how much witnessing he did before he died. As we speak his name and use him for an example, even to this day. That goes to his credit. Did you know that? The man repented of his sins. By the grace of God, repentance is a gift. For in grace you are having been saved, as it says in the original language, through faith. And that faith is not out of you. It's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man would be able to brag about it. Alright? Let's go on a little bit further. Luke 16, 23 and 24. Let's look that up. Luke 16. We're probably not spending 2 weeks on this, eh? Or 10.
And being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus in his bosom.
The only person who could have told the story was telling the story. Did you know that? The only person that could have told this story, this is not a parable, this is a real, true event that happened in history. The only person that it could have possibly known about this was telling about the story. Who's that?
Jesus.
These are the words of Jesus. Who's he talking about? Two individuals that he knew about. One was lost and one was saved. Go on, brother.
Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame.
All right, I'm going to move this so you can see this a little better. Now, here's paradise, and here's the place. This is the damn place of damnation and suffering. All right, the rich man, all right, or Dives, or Nineveh, whatever you want to call him, he's over here on this side. All right? This side over here, this paradise side, when Jesus was on the cross, dying on the cross of Calvary, there was a thug, another bad guy, that shows forth the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. There was a thug and a murderer next to him. Now, the word thief is not translated right. This guy was an absolute, here's a Charles Manson. Here is a thug of the day. Probably their leader was Barabbas. By the way, you know what Barabbas means? Son of the Father. Who do you think his father was? Son of the Father. Barabbas was probably their leader. He was like, this was like outlaws of the day. They would go and they would, the guy, you know, the poor guy on the road to Jericho, would talk about the Samaritan and the fry and the guy that got beat up and was left for dead. They would take, I don't care if it was women, children who were involved, they would go out there and rape the women, kill the children, or carry them off as slaves and sell them into slavery. They would steal everything they have and beat them up so bad, they'd leave them there to suffer and die alone. This is the kind of person that was next to Jesus on the cross. There were two of them, one on each side. One of them lingered and fermented in his sin. And the other one turned from it. And he said to the other one, he was witnessing for Jesus. He said, don't you realize that this man has done nothing and he's innocent? But we are guilty and we deserve what's happening to us? And yet this man is guiltless. And then he turned to Jesus and he said, Lord, the God of heaven, that's what he meant, that word Lord there, at Jehovah. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. He believed in me. He repented, didn't he? And Jesus turned to him and says, too late for you, Buster. What did he say? This day you will be with me in paradise. Or was he this day? Right over here. This was called Abraham's bosom. And it was called paradise. The word paradise, by the way, you can look over on the next one. These terms are on the next page for you. At the end of this lesson, these terms in the original languages are there so you can look at them and read them. The word paradise came all the way from Chaldean and Persian into Hebrew, and it meant a guarded pleasure park, is what it meant. It means a place that's guarded by God. Guarded pleasure park. The Garden of Eden was a guarded pleasure park. Did you know that? When you talk about Eden and the Bible, the Lord built this pleasure park, this garden, this park. You're going to be safe in this park. Okay? And that's what the word paradise, it came into Greek, paradiso, and it came into Greek, or into English. We get a word paradise. It's never been translated. It was a guarded pleasure park. That's what the word paradise means. Right? And here it is, over here. Now, this rich man, Dives, he looks over here, and one of the torments in hell is he can still see, can't he? Now, he wasn't in his body, people. What could he do there? He could see, and he could thirst, and he could feel. Were all of his senses there with him? What sense? Are there five senses, aren't there? You're going to see this man using those five. He was hungry, wasn't he? He could taste, couldn't he? He wanted something to drink. He wanted something to eat. You know what? I'll tell you what, one of the most terrible things about hell for gluttons is they won't ever get another bite of food. That's right. There are people that are absolute gluttons in this world and they will never have another bite of food in hell. And if they go to heaven, they can eat all they want and they won't be fat. That's overtime. Isn't that nice? That's another one of the pleasures and one of the benefits and one of the glories of the gift of Jesus Christ. Alright? Here we have this rascal over here and he's looking over here. He's seeing. He's feeling. He's hearing. All the senses that you have today, that man had in hell, and he wasn't even in his body, was he? His body was in the grave. But his soul and his person were here in this terrible place. All right?
Let's go on a little bit further.
As we go.
You know, Jim?
Yes.
It says that I have not seen nor ear heard nor entered into the imagination of man what God has in store for us. And I think just the converse is true of hell.
Yeah.
We can't imagine how bad it is.
We can't imagine all of the descriptions of hell that we have and everything that we can look at. We can't imagine all the torments of hell, nor the glories of heaven. But it takes even the doctrine of hell to show the glory of God. Let's go a little bit further. What was the next one? Luke 16 and verse 25. What's that say there, Brother Ken? You were there?
But Abraham said, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus, evil things. But now he is comforted, and you are tormented."
All right. That word torment, sir, is our word agony comes from it. Agony. Agony. There's knowledge in hell, isn't there? There's knowledge in hell.
Or in torment.
And there's memory in hell. There's knowledge.
Regret.
There's regret. But no repentance. There is no turning around. That you can't get out. It's forever. 16 and verse 26.
Besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us.
All right, you can't get out of there. You can't go. There's nobody in heaven who can help you in this place, this Hades. It can't be done. All right? Luke 16:27-30. Go on, Brother Kent.
Then he said, "I beg you, therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment." Abraham said to him, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them." And he said, "No, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent."
Mm-hmm. Hold on right there. He was remembering his lost family. Mm-hmm. He was in torments, but he knew they were going to be. Well, he's helpless in hell.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you call helpless in hell. How many of you know people in your family that are in hell today? Sad, isn't it? Well, they're looking back. They're looking back from what we find here. All of this is a real story of what really happened, okay? And these things are valid for today. And this is a terrible, it's agony to even look at this, isn't it? Thinking about, but it's also glory. Because you know the value of the blood of Jesus Christ. Go on a little further, brother.
But he said to him, "If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rise from the dead."
All right. Now, what this Diabetes wanted to do was send Lazarus back. And he said, "My family, you raise him from the dead, God, and Lazarus can go back and all of my brothers will believe." Did that happen?
Mm-hmm.
When Jesus rose from the dead? Look at all the people. Maybe Lazarus was actually sent back at the resurrection when Jesus was resurrected. Well, the Bible says that many of the graves split open and the people that were dead rose. Did everybody repent?
No.
Did national Israel come to God, come to the Messiah when He rose from the dead and said, "Oh Lord, forgive us"? What did they do there at Stephen's gate to Stephen? They murdered him and bit him with their teeth. They paid the Jewish guards that guarded the tomb, but they weren't Roman guards, by the way, they were Jewish guards, that guarded the tomb of Jesus, they paid them the lie when he was raised from the dead. Did it do them any good? Did a resurrection do them any good? Was the man in hell, was he wrong? Was Abraham right? Yeah. Because there is no repentance. The resurrection is a powerful evidence of the person of Jesus Christ. By the way, without believing in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you have no salvation. Because just dying for you was not enough. The resurrection procured. He died for our sins and was raised for our what? Justification. We aren't going to be justified without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and there's no salvation without the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Who shall have a part in hell? Revelation 21 and 8. Revelation 21, verse 8. Who's got Brother Bill?
That the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderous, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars that have their part in the lake that burns in fire and brimstone, which is the second death.
All right, let's go back there. Now let's delineate some of these guys just a little bit. Let's point them out. Okay, what's it say there, Brother Bill?
Cowardly?
Cowardly. What's a coward?
Someone not willing to stand up for Christ.
That's right. Someone not willing to stand up for anything. A coward. All right, what else?
Unbelieving.
Unbelieving. Ephesians 2 and 8 through 10 say what? For in grace you saved through faith. And the faith, what do? You believe in Christ. Mm-hmm. Unbelieving. They wouldn't believe in Christ. Go on.
Abominable.
Abominable. What in the world does that mean? Abominable. Is that a blasphemer? Have you ever heard somebody blaspheme God? One of the most blasphemous things I ever heard in my life, a guy came to me one time when I was a pastor, and he wanted to join the church where I was a pastor. He said, I've got plenty of money. He said, I don't believe in God. But I want to join your church so I can put one of them signs on my business card so I can bring more money. He said, I'll buy it. I'll give it. He said, don't ask me to teach, do nothing else in church. He said, I'm going to show up about once a month. And this is not the people know I go there. But he said, I want to be part of this church because it will promote my business. People, that's blasphemy. You know what I told him? I said, fella, I used a little Calvinism on him. Didn't believe that. But I said, you know, the history tells us, and say the Bible says, I said, history tells us, and some of the great theologians of history says that some are born to damnation and some are born to go to the way of the Lord. And he said, you just show to me that you're one of them. I said, you may as well give up. Just go on the other direction. Because you are locked out. He said, what? I said, you're locked out, fella. Boy, I made him think. It was a joke to him. It was blasphemy. That was blasphemy. Oh, I know that he did that later. But I wasn't going to let him walk in one of the Lord's churches like that. You know, as a pastor, I'm supposed to be a kind of a guard. Mm-hmm. You want somebody like that in your church? Even mm-hmm. though they bring in money? I tell you what, the Word of God and the glory of God and the truth of the Word is more important than money.
Did he ever get saved, Jim?
No. He joined a false religion because he could buy his way. Sad. 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 Just like that man in hell that lifted up his eyes, the rich man. He would have given anything to come back. Okay, Brother Bill.
Murderers.
People that are murderers. And who did Jesus call murderers in his day? Who? The religious leaders. He said, oh, you Pharisees, scribes, you are a murderer and a son of the great murderer. Okay, murderers. Murderers ought to go to hell, shouldn't they? Murderers ought to be executed so they get there faster. Well, isn't that right? So they won't hurt anybody else. Isn't government? What is the purpose of government? Go back here under this thing here under human government. What's the purpose of human government? To protect the citizens from the
murderers.
The murderers. And execute the murderers. Read it. There it is. All you have to do is go look it up. Responsibility in Genesis 3, 5, 7. 22 and 4 and 4. human government is set in order. Government's supposed to protect the citizens from the outlaws. When there's more outlaws in the government, then you need to start over again. Because it's not valid anymore. Okay, Brother Bill, go on ahead.
Sexually immoral.
Sexually immoral. What else does it say down there? So another.
Sorcerers.
Okay, sexually immoral. Go on just a little bit further.
Sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars.
This is exactly what you're talking about here. This is the one. Homosexual getting together. Men. The word is male prostitute. Homosexual prostitute. That's what it's talking about. Homosexuality. That's what came up on my website. Some goofy thing promoting this stuff. Where do they belong? In hell. Now, it doesn't mean that a homosexual can't be saved. But they have to repent. They're not going to stay that way. They can repent just like anybody, because the power of the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse them from that, and they can walk away from it. And is it a powerful sin and a powerful wrong? Yes. Go on, Brother Leland. What's next? After that.
The part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone.
No, go back. Sorcerers.
Sorcerers.
Now, what in the world is a sorcerer?
That's
a, there's the word pharmakia in that. Pharmakia, that means drug abusers.
Yeah.
Drug dealers. Why, we did that. They hadn't heard about things like that, but the book of Revelation talked about it. How the word pharmacist comes from that word. Drug dealers. And in this drug dealing here, many times, there is devil worship. Satanic.
How many people read their horoscope?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sorcery. Drug dealing. These are the sins of the world that is in power today, isn't it?
Well, the people of the Indus Valley in India, they use soma, which is a powerful drug, in their religious practices.
Mm-hmm.
And that was way back then.
False religion, by the way, has as much power as drugs. I'm talking about Mormonism. I'm talking about Jehovah's Witnesses. There is a tremendous attraction and drawing and power to hold those people into that. Even Catholicism, false religion. If you have gotten out of that, praise God, because that chains of darkness were on you. How many people do you ever see saved and come out of Jehovah's Witnesses? Very, very few. There are few because the chains of hell are on them. I mean, you can witness all the time to them. All you want to witness. But it takes the power of God. And I don't care how powerful you are in the Word of God. I even had one time, a grammarian, a language teacher. And I sat down and I wrote down John 1:1 and I had her translate that for me. I told her what it was. She didn't know what I was doing. I wrote down Greek and then she was translating grammatically. I was telling her what it was. She was writing down there and translating it because she taught language, foreign language. And when we got to the end, I said, now read that to me. And she said, in the beginning kept on being the Word. And the Word kept on being an integral part of God. And the Word kept on being God. That's what it says. And then she says, no! I don't believe that. I said, well, what did you just tell me grammatically? I said, is that correct grammatically? She said, yeah, I don't believe it. I don't believe it. That's not what I believe. I've been in this all my life. I'm not changing. I don't want to believe it. Leave me alone. No, go away. I said, doesn't the truth of God's Word mean anything to you? She said, I've been this, my grandmother, my mother, and all this stuff. The chains of hell were tight on her heart. I pray for her all the time. That's one of the greatest examples of the power of Satan that I ever saw in my life right there. It was tremendous. And God opened the door. How far are they out there? Do you know?
They were singing a minute ago.
Oh, they were singing? Well, thank you for your attention today. And I'm going to hear next week if I'm still here. I don't know what's going to happen to you this week. Is this the 23rd? Thank you for your attention and endurance of those hard seats. And brother.